Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
I just want to say, our guest today, I love him. I love him. You know those people you see and you're always happy to see them? And there's not a lot of them where you see them and it automatically brings a smile to your face, no matter what you're dealing with. It makes you just want to grab the person and hug them. That is our guest today. He is fucking hilarious. He's really smart. I just adore him on so many levels. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Will Silvins is here! Will Silvins!
Woo! Thank you for having me. I thought someone else was on when you're doing that introduction.
No,
I'm like, who else is here?
You, poo poo. It's you, Will.
Judy Gold, I love you so much.
I love you. No, I love you. Like, I fucking love you.
Thank you. I love you more, damn it. Judy Gold is what I'm told.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Now, Will, I don't know if you've ever listened to my podcast. We go into a deep dive of growing up, and I do a lot of research, and I love your story. You are fascinating human being who has been through a lot, and you're fucking hilarious. But
thank you.
You're in New York. You're a native New Yorker.
Yep. Born and raised
in Brookline, New York, also known as Brooklyn, you motherfuckers. Son of Haitian immigrants. Your mother, Solange, and your father, Maurice, immigrated to the United States when they were in their 20s. Your father was an engineer, and they were very strict parents.
Yes. You know my parents well.
You have two brothers.
Three brothers.
Fuck! Fuck, I did so much fucking research. Fuck, you have three brothers. What number are you?
I'm number three.
Oh, so you're like low middle. So you're like, you're pretty much the forgotten child, but...
Probably.
Yeah. And are you close with them? Are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm close to my brothers. Love them very much.
And do they all live in the New York City area?
No. My little brother lives in Vegas. My older brother lives near Philly. And my second older brother lives in Long Island.
All right. Well, who the fuck lives in Vegas?
My little brother, he follows his job. So.
Wow. Well, fuck him. Yeah. All right. I hate Vegas. I mean, no, I don't. I love people who live in Vegas. I love you. Okay. So your childhood is so fascinating because you're in Brooklyn and you're a Haitian.
Yeah.
And it's not good in the 80s and 90s to be Haitian. We had a president who wouldn't even say the word AIDS. And people were blaming AIDS on the Haitians.
Yeah, in fact, he stopped Haitians from coming to the country because he thought they needed someone, a scapegoat for AIDS. That's my opinion.
Right.
And so they're like, well, is the Haitians doing it? It's like, as you know.
Yeah. I mean, we also have the gay men, but, you know, it's as long as they're a marginalized group, then, you know, these people can use them as scapegoats.
It's easy to use them as the antagonists.
Right. So you're in Brooklyn and you're sort of embarrassed of your parents because of their values. And
when I was younger, I was embarrassed.
Yeah. We're talking about when you were a kid. Well, you know what? I had old parents. My parents were 41 and 48 when I was born. And they had different values than everyone. You know, kids are supposed to be embarrassed of their parents, but, you know, you had sort of a double whammy because they were immigrants and your father taught you to pretend that you're Jamaican. Is that correct?
No.
Oh.
So I'm going to tell you a quick story. So
yeah.
my parents was all about education and religion.
Right.
And they thought those are two things to make a great human being.
Right.
In fact, my parents never raised us on the color black. They thought be nice to people and be as smart as you could be, and that's how you elevate in the world.
Right.
So no matter who you are, what you look like, if you become really smart and you become very spiritual and you treat people the way you want to be treated, they will see past color.
That's all the armor you need.
So they put us in Catholic school, right? Me and my three brothers. And so for a long time, I didn't know I was black. I found out I was black in Catholic school. So we went to this Catholic school. It was all white school. Maybe there was like one or two black people in our school. And we got bullied every day, right? And so my mother used to think it was us. She was blaming us. She said, what do you do? Because this is a religious school.
Right.
You know, they don't bother nobody. They do all these things
about
education of God. And so one day my mother went to the school. And she brought us to the school to speak to the principal about our behavior. And we were sitting on the chairs, me and my brothers, against the wall. And across from the chairs was the sign-in decks with the lady who signed people in. So my mom got up. She went and signed in. Right? She turned around to come back and sit with us. When she turned around to sit down, the lady or the secretary grabbed a pen with a napkin and threw it in the garbage.
No fucking way.
So my mother said, she had a strong accent. She said, why you throw that in the garbage? And the lady was like, oh, the pen doesn't work. My mother got up and went in the garbage. Now, me and my brothers, we was embarrassed that she was
digging
the garbage. We was pale, you know, so like, oh, she's digging the garbage in front of him. And she pulled out the pen and she scribbled on the paper. And it worked. She said it worked. And the lady go, oh, I really couldn't remember what she said, but whatever she said, she's like, oh, I guess it works now. My mother turned around to us and she said, let's go, right? And we all got up and we started walking on. We lived about five blocks and we were scared. We were nervous. And we thought we did something to the pen because my mother was walking in front and we were like tailing behind. And we would kept bickering about, I didn't do nothing to the pen. I don't even use pens. I use pencils. I thought pens was for grownups. So my older brother had the guts and courage to ask my mother, Ma, what happened? And my mother didn't say anything. She just turned around and she did this. She went like this. She rubbed her index finger on the back of her other hand.
Right.
Right. So we just thought, me and my younger brothers, we thought we didn't take a shower, we're dirty, you know, and we was like, I took a shower today. I don't know, you know, and my older brother knew what it meant. My older brother goes and say, no, it's because we're black. And I said, we're black? Because I didn't know until now. I heard it. I was in the second grade. I heard it. But my parents never raised us on a black thing. They raised us on just being a human being thing.
Right.
If that makes sense. And I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, you are.
So now in the school, they used to call me Blackie, right? But I thought they was calling me Blackie because my fingernail on my index finger is black. It's okay. A rare condition that, you know, I think every 10 kids have, right? So okay. Boys. My index finger is black. So I thought when they was calling me Blackie, they was talking about my index finger.
Right.
My nail. So I used to put my finger inside my palm when I go to school so no one could see it. And it would still be like, there go Blackie. I'm like, how can they see my finger? And I used to walk around with my hand in my pocket and still, there go Blackie. I'm like, they can still see this nail.
Right.
You know? And then lo and behold, they were not talking about my nail.
It just shows you how prejudice is taught. It's not an innate quality that you're born with, that your mother, you know, focusing on be a good person and get an education, learn.
Right.
And that she never made you feel other or made you feel like, I just fucking love her. She didn't put all her shit that she probably went through onto you. It was like that they came over here and they were literally starting a new life and creating these great people with their core values, which I can't, it's like, that doesn't happen a lot with no matter what color you are, you know,
right.
How come they left Haiti? Was it economic?
The government, I believe my dad and obviously opportunity.
Because
in Haiti, no matter how hard you work, you could bust your ass. Little to no opportunity. In America, you could work really hard. There's very small opportunity, but at least there's some opportunity, you know?
Right.
My dad, you know, he busted ass. He got like maybe 7 degrees. A degree in refrigeration,
right?
And air conditioning and roofing, like electrical,
right?
And he bought his first house in, I believe, in 67. I think I was not even born yet. And then he 69. And then he bought another house. And then he just kept, you know, and he, you know,
working and working. Did they leave their families behind, their parents and?
Yeah, they had to because you know they it's like you can't help the poor if you're one of them. You know
right.
that expression?
Yes.
So but when he got to a certain level, he started helping the family back in Haiti, either sending them money or supplies, you know, or actually some family members, he helped them come here.
Right.
You know, legally. So anybody's listening is not illegally.
Yeah. And go fuck it. And if you are listening for that shit, don't listen anymore. I fucking hate you. Okay.
and he, you know, let them stay. My dad had like, he bought an apartment building and he let some family members stay for a real low rent.
Right.
So, you know.
So your mother would take you and your brothers shopping to department stores or grocery stores. And she was so Haitian. She was still in that mindset that I need to bargain with these people, right?
Oh, she was a haggler, yeah.
Yeah. So I read a story where you were at the grocery store and she's haggling and haggling and you're embarrassed and you stood by the bags and you said, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know this woman. I'm just a bad boy.
Yeah. Because this is at Pathmark. And she was, at this point, it was not haggling. It was more like she'll carefully watch the cashier ring things up. And she's watching every item and watching what the register says. And and then she'll stop. Everybody, stop packing. 90 cents. Why you charge me 95 cents? For what? Why 5 cents? I'm like, Ma, I'll give you 5 cents. I didn't say that.
Right, but you're thinking,
I'll give you 5 cents when we get home. Like it's 5 cents. It is like a long line, and she's stopping the you know the assembly line. It was me and my brother's packer. It's like an assembly line, you know,
right?
of workers. And then she'll make a big deal, and the lady was like, it's 95 cents. And then I just like, you know, when people are looking, I'm like, man, I'm just work here. Hey, you want to come out of this when I finish this? But you know.
I mean, that is so funny and clever. And it's just, I as the more I read about you and learn about you,
but at the same time, whenever they undercharged, she never said nothing. And as soon as she got outside, it was a huge thing. Oh, this is 80 cents, and she only charged me 70 cents. I made 10 cents. I'm like, okay. It was like the talk of all the way home, like, you know. And then somehow she turns to education. Okay? You get to education, so you'll do stupid shit like that.
Right.
You'll do stupid stuff like that. She never cried first. Right. She'll do stupid stuff like that.
Right.
Okay. I made 10 cents because she's stupid.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
So, I mean, it's like she's like a prophet trying to teach you, you know, how to be in the world and what's important.
Yeah.
You know, the more I read about you and get to know you, it's like, I feel like you had this, this is something I feel like we have in common, this strong mother who didn't take any shit from anyone and would call people out on their shit, and a father who was dedicated to his work and bettering, you know, his life and being a good person, and that idea of strict parents, of, I mean, these old fashioned values that separates you from so many kids of your generation.
It was not good when I was growing up.
I know. Same with me. I was like, ugh.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
You loved Richard Pryor growing up. You also doodled a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
I read this article where you said you would collect piles of drawings. You draw all weekend, doodle all weekend, mostly of superheroes, right? And on Monday morning, you would bring them to school and put them on your desk, and all the kids would be like, whoa, wow.
Right. Junior high school when I first got, so my mother, after Catholic school, my mother took us out immediately and put us in a public school.
Were all four of you in the Catholic school?
All four of us went to a Catholic school, and then she took us out and put us in public school. And then in the public school, for the first time in my life, I saw other kids that looked like me.
Right.
Other kids that did not look like me. It was a mixture versus a Catholic school, just black and white. This school was like Spanish, white, black,
right,
Asian.
Right.
And I just felt so happy in this. I made friends for the first time. That was elementary school. But when I went to junior high school for the first time, I got into drawing, and I was drawing a lot. So I would take a whole weekend to draw a picture, and on Monday I would show it to the class. I don't know how that became a thing. Will got a new picture. So I drew this picture. I think it was Spider-Man versus the Hulk. I can't really remember. And I had one of those binders, the dungareen made out of like dungareen or
And it had a pocket. Did it have a pocket on it?
No pocket, but it had those three clamps.
Yes.
Right, the thick clamps.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those binders, right? Just so you could understand, right? It had that metal thing inside.
Yeah.
That held the clamps and the paper. So I opened it, and boom, and all the kids was around my desk, and they're like, whoa, that's dope. Out of nowhere, a tiny little roach came from under the clamp.
A cockroach.
And another cockroach. And it was like, next, before you know it, it was like 16 or 8, 20 cockroaches coming out. And then someone screamed, he got roaches, right? And this guy named Lamont grabbed my binder, threw it on the floor, and started stepping on the roaches and my pictures and stomping it. And the kids was running, the girls was running, screaming. The guys was laughing and pointing. They called me Roach Boy for a week or months probably. And then I don't know how they found out I was Haitian. And they kept saying it's a Haitian thing, or he's Haitian, he do voodoo. And then I got bullied about being Haitian and having roaches and, you know, doing voodoo and having AIDS.
That was it. That became your identity.
That became a thing. And I couldn't escape it.
Before that, when you were in the Catholic school, were you... like, sort of, were you questioning your religion at that time?
Not until I was 21. I was a diehard Catholic. I could have easily been one of Jesus' disciples.
Okay.
The 13th disciple.
Right.
Because that's how much I was into the belief, the religion.
So it was a guiding principle, and you were like, okay, yeah.
Well, it's a number of two things. Two things. Number one, I believe in the religion. Number two, it was also a way to get out the house.
Right.
So my parents were so strict. So I went to Saturday school. I went to church. I went to Thursday choir rehearsal. I can't even sing. I just went to choir rehearsal and just showed up, you know, just so I could, you know, hey, look, I'm outside just chilling, you know. But in my parents' eyes, as long as I was going to church or school, they were happy. You know?
Were any of your brothers rebellious?
No, my older brother a little bit, but you know, the belt put him in line.
Yeah, I got the belt. Yeah, no one gets the belt now, and then you go to jail.
The worst line is when you do something and one of my parents are like, go get the belt.
Right.
Or my dad would say, go find something so I can beat your ass with.
Right.
So the psychology on your mind.
I know.
You got to go find something to whoop your own ass. And mind you, it can't be too small because he'll get even angry. Like, you think I'm stupid? And it can't be too big because that's your ass.
Right.
And so you got to find the Goldilocks of belts.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. When you moved to a new high school, you we're starting to hear horrible shit about Haitians, correct? Like,
yeah. Well, when I went to the high school, it was a high school far away from my home. Like, I had to take two trains to get there.
Right.
And then I was having a good ass time, you know, meeting kids, meeting people, going to class. And then one day, a group of kids was chilling, and one of the kids go, "Yo, you got an accent. Where you from?" I'm like, "Ah, here we go again." And then I just said, "Yo, I'm Jamaican." They, "Oh, hey, man." And next thing you know, I was the coolest kid. I was Jamaican. I was, you know, Bob Marley, you know.
Right.
And then I had to keep this up. I had to, you know, every, like, when I'm talking to people, I would just blurt out something Jamaican. I'm like, "Yo, man, I didn't get to do the homework. Blood clot. You know, hey, do you know, anybody know what time science starts? Booyaka. You know, and then one kid just asked me, "Yo, why you keep doing that?" "Yo, dude, I'm Jamaican. No, don't question that. That's what we do."
Right.
You know.
And did you tell anyone? Did your brothers know that you were faking you were Jamaican?
No, I didn't know. No, we never talked about it. You got to stand right there. My parents never really talked about the Haitian culture or the Haitian struggle. Like, I wish they did to make us appreciate the Haitian lifestyle more.
Why do you think they shielded you from that?
I don't know. It was not a shield thing, because they were proud to be Haitian. They were very proud. But at the time, it was a thing where no one was really learning about people's background, I think, or cultures. It was not a thing, you know, "Hey, learn about your history." You know, that didn't come to like the mid 90s or late 90s. About learning who you are and where you're from, you know?
They didn't really talk a lot about
the Haitian, like my mother would listen to Haitian radio stations. She would talk
about it. And she had friends, Haitian friends, right?
But for some reason I don't know how to word it or phrase it, but at the time it was not like a thing to talk about. Not that we were ashamed or they were ashamed, but it's not something that, "Hey, tell us what happened to Haiti." It was not.
Right.
Know, it was like from now and on, it was the most conversations were about.
Right. So they were looking towards the future and really trying to leave that behind them. Unlike the Jews, who talk about it all the fucking time.
Which I think is great, because you the more you know about where you come from, your past, the more you know who you are and where you would want to go in life.
Right. And not repeat the mistakes.
Repeat the mistakes. Yeah.
All right. So you move to a new high school in 10th grade. You are a very, very good student, correct?
Yeah. I had to get, I'm good because the belt kept us good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
one of my dad's thing was, if anybody get left back, they would have to spend the entire summer in the house, can't go outside, can't even look out the window. You have to study, you have to read out loud every day, and you have to do all the chores in the house. And I remember that used to scare the shit out of me. I'm like, because the summer was all we had.
Right.
You know, it's like, because we during school days, right, we had to be in the house by 5 p.m. And by that, I mean, We were allowed to be on the porch, and that's it. But we couldn't be outside the porch or across the street. We, for a long time, we were not allowed to be across the street. So we had to be on the porch up until 5, and at 5 p.m. inside the house. Summertime, we were allowed to be outside till 9 p.m., and we could even, like, run up and down the block. You know, I remember one time we were allowed to cross the street for the first time. And I was just fascinated of looking at my house from the other side of the street. I'm like, "Wow, this is how people sees us."
Right.
This side of the street, you know, and it just blew my mind. And then, and that was our summer. And I just remember I used to love summers.
And you know, then, that's so incredible. Can you imagine imposing those rules on a child today? They'd be like, "Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
They'd be like, "As long as the internet and my video game is there, I'm good."
Yeah, that's true. You were the only Haitian family in your neighborhood. Is that correct?
That I knew of. So what happened is, maybe the Jewish people relate to this. There was a lot of, I call them closet Haitians.
Right.
Right. we like I said, we pretend we were not Haitian. We didn't want to get bullied. There was a lot of hate on Haitians. So we was the only ones that I knew of. As I got older, when I got to college, I found out there was three other Haitian families. I thought they were African-American and they were Haitian. I'm like, wait, you're Haitian too? You never said nothing. And then my friend Liz, the person I'm talking about, she said, you never said nothing. So you're just as guilty of closet Haitian as I am. And then we laughed about it. I'm like, wow. So it was like the Haitians that admit that they are Haitian, to me, for the most part, are the ones that live around other Haitians where you could have friends, you could communicate, you have some people that you could relate to. But when you're the only one on your block like that, and you know it's not good to admit it, then you're like,
You know? I mean, it's like being in the closet, you know?
Or Jewish people, I heard that you guys just pretend you're not Jewish, right?
There are Jews who assimilate. They change the last names.
Right.
They join like country clubs that don't allow Jews. I mean, there's so many closeted Jews.
No, but and I people, understand that, yeah. that to be in the you know 50s or whatever. But why now? Why are they doing it now?
I feel like it's, well, there's a lot of anti-Semitism, but I do think it's shame brought down from generation to generation, you know, that these people don't want that to be their identifier. I mean, I'm proud. I am proud. You're proud of your, you know, but oh my God. Yeah. It's disconcerting. It makes me feel bad. Like, really? So you're just going to deny?
I'm proud now. Like, obviously when I was in high school, when I got to college, that's when I became proud. That's when I started learning about the culture and the Haitians, this little group of slaves beat the big French army.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, this is what I'm saying, like history and education is so important, because if I would have known that, I think I would have owned up and I would have kicked those bullies in the ass.
Right.
Like, you know what we did to the French, bitch?
Yeah. Do you understand now why your parents did that?
They didn't hide the fact that we're Haitian.
Right. But I'm saying, do you understand why they didn't, you know, harp on that? And like, well, you go tell those kids, you know, like.
No, well I never told them it's because I never told my parents why I got bullied. I just, my dad was fight back until you have to.
Right.
So like, don't let words or whatever get to you. But if they get physical, then. You know,
stand up for yourself. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold, and it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying, you know what I'm talking about, and it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
All right. So you go to City College of New York.
Yep.
Right. And you study electrical engineering.
Electromechanical engineering.
Oh, yeah. That's what I wrote that down. Sorry.
Only school that was teaching electromechanical engineering at the time, which is a study of robots, which is a combination of electronics and meets mechanics.
Where did your brothers, what did they end up studying?
Me and my second older brother, we studied the same major. My older brother, I forgot what he studied. And my younger brother, he studied something to do with food. I can't remember the title.
Okay. So your older brother goes to college. So this is like, your parents are probably like, you know, bing, you know what I mean?
Look, we all went to college.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
My parents was like, us all going to college, my parents are more like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
As opposed to, oh, wow, my kids go to college. Like,
right.
That's what else they're going to do.
That's the way I grew up, too. Like, it wasn't a choice. It's not you go to college. And then you decide whether you want an advanced degree after that. But you will be getting a bachelor's degree. There's no question.
Right. Okay? So it's like, I remember when some lady, a neighbor, was so happy that her kid went to college.
Right.
And my parents are just looking at her like, okay.
So you start, how did you get interested in robots and all of that kind of stuff?
I remember one day my dad bought a digital clock, right? And I woke up like 5 a.m. I remember looking at the digital clock. It was 5 o'clock and then it went to 5:01 and five. And I was just fascinated, like, what's making it do that? How is going from 0 to 10? Like, I was just fascinated. I remember I opened the clock one time and I was looking at the components. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Like, and that's what got me into technology and stuff.
So you graduate. Mm-hmm. But did you live at home? You lived at home during college?
I was living at home, yep.
Did you hate that?
Huh?
Do you feel like you didn't get a college life because of that?
No, I didn't. I'm not one of these, I miss the college life because I didn't know much about the college life. Like, going to a dorm and going away.
Right.
You know, I was just happy that, you know, I didn't get left back in high school, elementary school. And then I found something that I was happy. I loved, you know, I wanted to get into. And at the college, I got me a job at this company called International Robotics, where I was building robots. And I was like, you know, where else am I going to find a job like this, you know? And actually, one of the robots I worked on was in the movie Rocky IV. Did you see Rocky?
No!
Yeah. So Rocky, I think it was Rocky's trainer or whatever. It was his birthday. And so the robot comes out with a cake. Happy birthday. I came up with what the robot said.
You get this job. Do you have to like get dressed up? Like, what is it like? Are you living at home with your parents? Came.
I wore the same outfit I wear on stage.
But your father growing up wore the same pants every day. Is that correct?
My dad's thing was, as long as your clothes is clean, why buy a new outfit? Why buy new clothes? You know, he wore the same pants every day. And we had a washer dryer in our house.
Right.
And as soon as he get home, we'll wash his clothes. And then if they weren't ready, he had another set of pants that looked just like the pants. But I never understood that until now. I'm like, you know what? Buying new clothes, wearing clothes is just to impress other people.
Right. I think people realize that during the pandemic too. It's like, wait a minute, I've saved so much fucking money not buying shit to wear that I'm going to wear once or twice. You know, it's like ridiculous. You have this regular job. I mean, you love comedy, right?
Yeah,
you
I love comedy.
You had a boss who also loved comedy. Is that correct?
Yeah, Maris Ambass. His name was Maris.
And he sort of got you into, is that who got you into?
He got me to push me to like pursue it. Because my parents was like, you know, anti, like, do you tell a joke for what?
Right.
Tell us, my mom and dad told me to tell him a joke. But I never joke with my dad. And now he wants me to tell me a joke. Let me see if you're good. Like, no.
Right. You
know? And so Maris really got me into, you know, to follow and pursue. And I'm like,
funny at work, right?
Yeah, I was funny-ish at work. But my thing, they were laughing. But I used to think like, he's trying to get me to follow and pursue my career in comedy, but I'm like, but I work for you.
Right.
Are you trying to tell me something? Like, yeah.
But your parents never thought of the arts as a career. They thought as, okay, you want to draw, but you got to work and work. And which I think is a common mindset of immigrants, this is the only way, the surefire. It was because of security, you know, like it's an interesting mindset and people still have it. Like, I have relatives that their kids want to go into the arts and they're like, don't talk to me about, like, you're complaining to me about your kid wanting to be an actor or a writer or a pottery maker. I'm the wrong person, you know?
Right. Yeah. In fact, my parents was like, my dad was like, he also always pushed, learn as much as you can.
Right.
You know, your mind is like space. It's unlimited, the amount of information you could learn, the people you could learn about, the religion, different religions you could learn about, different cultures, different ethnicities. The more you learn about the world, you could travel without ever leaving your place.
Right.
You know, well, I mean, he didn't really, what he said was you open your head and you put things inside. You put things inside. And when you go to college, there are so many choices. But the choices were like doctor, lawyer, engineer. So many choices you could be.
Right. Doctor, lawyer, engineer.
That was the choices.
Those are the choices.
Yeah. But to him, those are a lot of, look at all the choices. You could become in life, doctor, lawyer, engineer. So I became an engineer because I was really good with math, science, and physics.
Yeah, me too. Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah. So you started doing comedy, stand-up, behind your parents' back.
Yep.
And that was in 1997, am I correct?
No,
it's earlier.
Yeah, 94.
Oh, no. 94. And then So you started doing it. Where did you go?
I went to this place called the Uptown Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember a comedian named Dougie Doug?
Yes.
Dougie Doug is the one. I was up in Harlem and I ran to Dougie Doug and I saw him in the street. I said, yo, dude, oh my God, I love your comedy. And he invited me to come to the Uptown Comedy Club. And I remember when I went there, at this point in my life, I've never been to a dance club. I've never been to a comedy club. So this is
And you're living in New York City. Like, I don't think people are understanding. You're in the center of the world and you are completely sheltered. Like, you've never been to these where kids are sneaking out of like high school to go, you know? Right.
And of course, I never drank, never did any drugs.
Right.
But yes, most of it had to do with my parents. But after I got older, I realized, like, I don't need this stuff. You know, I was not peer pressured. But I went to a comedy club. It blew my mind just watching people just
sitting. So you walk in.
I walk in.
After never being in a club.
Yeah.
Can you just explain what that was like?
It looked like, okay, remember when you go to register at school or college? and kids are walking in, and, you know, I'm walking in, and I felt like I had that feeling at first. And then they told me the price. I said, oh, Dougie Doug invited me. Oh, Dougie Doug. Oh, Dougie Doug, come on in. I'm like, oh, shoot. I just name dropped for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And then they walked me and they brought me to a seat in the back of the room. And I remember sitting down. I just remember, and then it reminded me of like college or school when you're at an auditorium and they're about to watch a movie or something. And then the show started. And I just remember just like, the jokes is coming out so fast.
Right.
I was laughing. One of the best things in life, the reason why I like comedy, one of the best things in life to me, or the three best things, is laughing.
Oh.
Laughing your ass off.
Hallelujah. Right? I do not want to live in a world without laughter. Sorry. The most important thing.
Number two, eating healthy foods. Eating healthy foods. If you think about the best times of your life, right? We spend it with our friends either laughing or eating great food.
Right.
Right. And, you know, the third one is orgasms, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But those are three things in life where you could do it, just like the natural body.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yes.
And so I just know being in this space and just laughing for an hour and a half, laughing my ass off. And then every time, you know, the host came out, I'm like, what the hell is this? I just remember like, this is what people are doing?
Right. You started doing it when you were doing it behind your parents' back. Did you tell anyone in your family? Did you tell any of your brothers?
My brothers know, obviously.
Your brothers know.
Yeah.
And then you start doing comedy, and you always struggled with enunciating words because of your Haitian parents.
It was a combination of stuff.
Okay.
I had a lazy tongue. I had a Haitian accent.
I have a lazy tongue too. Hey, now. That's a lesbian joke, people. Yeah.
I had a Haitian accent that we're trying to get rid of. So,
right.
You know, I didn't pronounce words properly. And then a lot of times I didn't give a damn.
Right.
You know, so when I used to talk a lot with my hands.
Your hands and your body.
And, you know, like I went flying and then I was driving my car, you know.
Right.
So at least if you didn't understand what I said, when you saw this, like, okay, you must have said driving the car.
Right. You know? It's also a very active and theatrical way to tell a story.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with my friend, Will Silvins. I love him. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. Podcast would not be possible without the help, love, and dedication of Brittany Jo Sowards. Now, if you like the show, you should be a subscriber, okay? If you don't like the show, then I don't know why you're even listening to this, because that means you listen to the end. But you should subscribe. You should leave a review. You should tell everyone you know about this podcast, okay? Because it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. And I need more listeners. I need a lot, but I would love to have more listeners. If you are living in the Florida area, get it, Florida area, it's a whole state. No, if you're living near Boca, I will be performing in Boca on November 6th. That's November 6th. It's a Saturday night at the Raz Room in Misner Park. Okay. Oh, God, daylight savings time ends on the 7th, which is going to be so fucking depressing. Also, you know, if you haven't purchased my book and you're thinking about, you know, free speech and Chappelle and all this other shit, you know, my book would be very helpful. Yes, I can say that. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. It's a great book. And the audiobook is also great. And I'm great. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding. But, I am kind of great. That's it. That's all I have to say to you. Please go to my website if you want any information on me. I don't know why you would, but, you know, I am a fascinating person. JudyGold.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at JudyGold, JEWDYGOLD, you know, because I'm a Jew. God, I'm funny. Anyway, wear a mask, get vaxxed, get your booster. Holidays are coming. So I don't know what that means, but it means that the holidays are coming and it's 95 degrees. So that's really not scary at all, is it? But anyway, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate your love and support and listening to my podcast and just being you. And as we always say, so long.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now. No,
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.